One thing I've always known about myself is that, unlike some pastors who preach, and they get me nervous, some preachers preach until they're finished with their manuscript. I am not one of those. I get done before the people leave. They didn't hear what I said, but that's okay. I am very aware that some of you have ADD. And I want to be careful that I'm not the last one who the deacon leaves a note for and says, "Pastor, when you're finished, you can lock up." I want to get out there before everybody else. I just came by today to let you know that there is a God who cares for you. And there's a God who watches over you. That's all I came to tell you. But since you expect me to say more, I will say a few more things, and then we will go for lunch. Is that all right? I asked the question, as it is typed in your bulletin, why can't we all just get along? And I want you to understand that it is true that a lot of us have issues with coexisting with people even of our own color. We are just not comfortable with a peaceful life. And so I ask the question, why can't we all just get along? Rodney King's famous question, can we all get along, is an interesting one. Rodney Glenn King was born April 2, 1965, he was best known for his involvement in a police brutality case involving the Los Angeles Police Department, March 3, 1991. A bystander, George Holliday, videotaped much of the incident from a distance. The footage showed LAPD officers repeatedly striking King with their batons while other officers stood by watching without taking any action to stop the beating. A portion of this footage was aired by news agencies around the world, causing public outrage that raised tensions between black and whites and other people, and also between them and the police department. And there was increased anger over police brutality and social inequalities in Los Angeles. Four LAPD officers were later tried in a state court for the beating of this young man. Three were acquitted, and the jury failed to reach a verdict for the fourth. The announcement of the acquittal sparked the 1992 Los Angeles riots. A later federal trial for civil rights violations ended with two of the officers being found guilty and sent to prison, and the other two officers acquitted. You'll agree with me today that the world, especially the United States, is wrapped in racial tension. I don't have time to go into the details of who started it or who is doing it, but I do know that some of the things that our politicians say do not help to maintain peace and harmony in our society. We are today still in a quandary as to how to deal with race in this country. But I want you to understand that many of the tensions that we feel today are not unique just to race, but even our own races, within the same race that we consider that we share, and within our own church, we can't even get along. I don't think they heard what I said. We complain about the problems that we have with race in this country, whites and blacks and yellows and browns and whatever. We just don't seem to be able to coexist peacefully. But I want to suggest to you, not only are we having that problem in the political world, but even the church, we can't get along right here in Victory. One scientific psychological analyst said that most of the tensions that we face today are 98% emotional and 2% rational. 98% of the problems that we face are 98% emotional and 2% rational. I ask the question, and I will continue to ask the question, why can't we all get along? Many of us are today bothered by the reality that we don't seem to get what we deserve in life, although we work so hard, because of our pigmentation. We're talking about Black history now. It seems like we have become what one author considers to be the permanent underclass. Did you hear that? The permanent underclass. We have been incarcerated. We have been bullied. We have been bamboozled. We have been buried. We have been beaten. And as a result, many of us have become paranoid because we believe that everything that we attempt to do, we are not able to conclude or complete well because we are not getting fair treatment. I want you to understand that the God that I serve has made it very clear in the Holy Writ. He says in the New Testament, he states very clearly, he says that we are all one blood. I want somebody to listen to me. There has been a clear urgency to brainwash people of our hue into believing that we are not at the same level of intellectual ability as others of a different complexion. Some cases we are not considered a whole person. In the past we were considered not to be able to vote because we were not quite up to the standard of some other people who believed that they were the privileged ones. But the Word of God is always a default position that reminds us, in case we are down and downtrodden, that God, come on, says that we are all made, all nations of one blood. Now, I'm not a biologist or a zoologist. I'm not a biologist or a zoologist, but I want you to know that the little I know about life is that when God made us, we were made in his image. I also know that he took clay and he formed man. Come on, work with me here. And he breathed into the nostrils the breath of life. And man, at that point, became a living soul. Am I making sense here? And then when I check my ancestry, I recognize that I came from Adam, and so did everybody else. So it seems to me that the classifications of race that we boast about today is all man-made. Because in the initial creational activity, when God, in his holy almighty fiat, said, let there be, when he spake and it was done, come on somebody, and he commanded and it stood fast, he made all nations, come on somebody, say all, turn to your neighbor and say all. All nations were made of one blood. I don't know what your blood type is. Some are AB. Some are A. Some are B. Some are O. Universal donors, but not universal receivers. They talk about the hemoglobin, and they talk about blood and how it works. And I recognize that the blood is essential to life. It's essential for us to move and be mobile and be agile. It's a part of what makes us move. And when I last checked, when somebody, whether white or black or yellow, is checked for the blood, and do a blood test, or a phlebotomist invades their epidermis. I don't think you heard me. A phlebotomist punctures one of those arteries or veins, whatever you want to call it. I'm glad to have nurses in the house. I didn't say I was a nurse, but I certainly don't like the hearse anyway. But when a phlebotomist punctures your veins and they extract blood, whether you're white, black, yellow, or green, the blood is the same. Can somebody say amen? Because we're all one under God. But I've always recognized that the devil has always been alive and well and has sought to separate us, to divide us, to confuse us. And so when God did creation, the devil came in with evolution. When God thought of unity, the devil came on with disunity. When God did so many wonderful things, the devil always came in with a counterfeit. And so the devil has been trying to divide and conquer over the years because he knows he has but a short time to live. But I want you to know, my friends, that the devil will not fool me because I know whose I am. My God says that in God's economy, there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither, rich or poor. In God's economy, we are one. Somebody needs to say hallelujah. So, let's understand very quickly that the black race, or black people, let me put it that way, African Americans are not permanently underclass people. We need to understand that we are as good as capable as bright as wonderful as kind as anybody else, because the truth is, what makes us what we are is our relationship with Jesus Christ. I really don't know what we would have done if it was not for the church. In the times of slavery, when slavery was at its zenith in this country, when we were on the plantations, not only here, but even in the West Indies or wherever we were, the thing that saved many of us is the fact that we knew about God. It was the church that helped to make us read again, to make us understand that this world is not our home, and that we are just a passing through, and that our leisure or treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. It is the church that allowed for us to understand the importance, watch me now, of knowing that although we are under bondage here, that once we are connected to Jesus, we are truly free. It is the church that allowed many a slave, when perplexed and bewildered by the burdensome slavery that they underwent, it was a church that helped them to sing songs like "Steal Away." Steal away. I've got a shoe. You've got a shoe. All God's children got a shoe. It was the church that helped them to sing "Nobody Knows." The trouble I see is a church that helped them to sing many a song. And I'm reminded of the fact that in Psalm 137, the question was asked, how can we sing the Lord's song? I don't think you heard me. How can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? That was the query, because God's people were then under slavery. And you know, many of us don't even recognize it, but many of those that were God's people, the children of Israel, were blacks. We tend to think that Jesus was white because we have been brainwashed to think that he's white. But if you get into the historical data and you check, you will find out that they were colored people. Not only that, you'll find out that his descendants, like Rahab, were not white. Are you listening to me? Yeah. But Sheba was not white. Many of those that you thought were white were not white. But somehow we have been brainwashed over the years to believe that anything that's white is good, and everything that's good is white. But I have news for you that that's not so. The truth is that we need to understand that the most important connection that we need in this chaotic world in which we live is to be connected to Jesus Christ. The truth is that we don't look like what we have been through. We don't look like what we have been through. I want to read a text in Job. What did I say? Somebody saw that text the other day and they said it was Job. What is Job? Almost like 2 Corinthians. What are you laughing about? The Bible says, surely, and I'm going to read Job 28 verses 2 and 3. Let me read 2 and 3. Iron, watch me now. Iron is taken out of the earth, and brass is molten out of the stone. He setteth an end to darkness and searcheth out all perfection. The stones of darkness and the shadow of death. Job had suffered a whole lot. He had lost everything. He went through hardship. He went through tough times. But in the end, he came out a victor. Can somebody say amen? I want us as African Americans to understand that we have gone through a whole lot. We don't look like what we've been through since the origins of the field in the late 19th century. Historians and intellectuals have all offered various answers to the question, what is African American history? Some have seen it as an extension to American history. Some have stressed the influence of Africa on African American history. Still others have viewed African American history as vital to black liberation and power. But I want you to understand that we as black people are the ones that have suffered, have been taken out of the earth. Iron is taken out of the earth, the Bible says. And brass is molded out of stone. We have been placed in tough situations. We have been trodden on. We have been kicked. We have been abused. But I have good news for you, that God is still in control. Well over 200 years, we have been viewed and treated by the masses of society as though we are lower than the earth. We have been abused, misused, scorned. But I want you to know, my friends, that God has not forgotten us. God is still in control. God is still getting ready to do something for those who trust him. We may think that we have lost everything and we have hit rock bottom, but I wanted to know that God still looks out for his children. Do you know that many, many years ago, there was a place in the United States that was called the Black Mecca, somewhere in Oklahoma, in Tulsa. It was once referred to as the Black Wall Street. It was terrorized, though, and burned to the ground because people did not like to see us prosper. Job went through a whole lot, but God is always there when we are at our lowest. Do you know sometimes he hits us down to lift us up? Can somebody say amen? Bible reassures us that the sons that we have lost, and we're talking about Job here, but it also refers to us. And Job was at his lowest. The Bible tells that the sons that he lost, God would restore. The daughters that you've lost, he says, I will restore. The cattle that you've lost, I will restore. Your health that is failing, I will restore. I can hear Job proclaiming, iron is taken out of the earth and brass is molten out of the stone. But God will see us through. What do you say? As you look at what is transpiring today, we have to understand that while we view the world today, we must understand that the God that we serve does look out for his children. Let me see if I can bring this home to you today as we close soon. I want you to go with me and view with me the reality of the God that we serve. First of all, we must understand that he that watches over Israel, come on now, is not an absentee landlord. He does not slumber or sleep. Anything that transpires on this planet, God, in his permissive will, allows. There's nothing that happens that he is not aware of, he's not cognizant of. And so as we look at what's going on around us, let us not give up hope, because I want you to know that sometimes our later days are going to be better than what happened before. There are three things that I want you to think of when you think of what we're going through. One is that we need to have hindsight. What do we need to have? We need to have foresight. What do we need? And we need to have insight. What do we need? So we need those three things. Hindsight, foresight, and insight. Paul said, interestingly, forgetting those things which are behind, I press. It doesn't mean that we must have amnesia, but it means that we should not always be looking in the rearview mirror, because if you look in the rearview mirror, you can't drive. I don't think you heard me. If you want to get home alive, looking in the rearview mirror is not a good recipe for success. In order to progress, we must look forward to the mark, come on now, somebody said the mark, of the high calling, which is in Jesus Christ. So watch me as we look at hindsight. Hindsight is a wonderful thing because it tells you about your past and it educates you about how to deal with your future. Let me say that again. I hope somebody is with me. It's good to have hindsight because you need to learn, in other words, from your mistakes. And even from your successes. So hindsight is good. Sometimes it depresses you. Sometimes it lifts you. But the truth is that you should not dwell on the past, because you have a nowness that is a reality that you have to grapple with and to tackle. How do you deal with the now, the isness of now? How do you handle it if you are busy looking at what you used to do? Even your successes, you will be complacent. Isn't that right? Or you will be depressed, depending on the situation. But if you recognize that you are learning from your past, it tells you and informs you as to how to negotiate your future. So, for example, if a car hit you down once because you were not paying attention and crossing the street, hindsight will help you to have insight as to how to cross the street so that you won't have a plight in your flight. Foresight will tell you what's coming up when you hear a horn or the sound of an engine. So foresight helps you to understand that at certain places, at certain times, there may be a lot of traffic, so you have to be careful. So your foresight tells you how to negotiate that. But insight gives you a deeper understanding of the situation. Am I making it plain? So as we look at black history, this is what I wanted to tell you. We must use hindsight to rehash what happened on the slave trade. How we were packed like sardines. How we were abused. How males were made to feel less than males because of what they did to them in terms of castration and so on publicly. So they felt less than real men. One thing you don't want to take away from man is you know what. I don't have to tell you. Nobody's listening to me. I thought that would wake up some of you. Guess you don't like to hear anything else but that. Nobody's listening. I think everybody's awake now. They did that to us. They brainwashed us and made us feel that we were not important. They took away our pride or self-esteem only to have us as workhorses to make this country as great as it possibly could be, because we built the bridges. Died on Brooklyn Bridge and other bridges. We built the White House. And they thought that only white people could go to the White House until Barack came. Nobody's listening to me. They thought that they could just have us as little hirelings. Not even hirelings, because they didn't pay us in that time. But they thought they could just abuse us and misuse us. But through the years, can somebody say through the years? The black man has shown resilience. The black men has been strong. They have fought the odds. And today I can say that the black man is getting to where he needs to get, because God is still with his people. What do you say? Hindsight reminds us that we had slavery in Egypt. Hindsight reminds us that we were under Babylonian captivity as a people. Hindsight reminds us that sometimes we have to work twice as much to get the jobs that others do. Hindsight tells us that we must be careful when we are pulled over by the cops. Put your hands on the dashboard. Don't make any move. Even if you want to sneeze, don't move your hand. Hindsight tells us that we are not treated equal under the law, although the law said we should be. But there is institutional racism. Am I speaking truth? Am I speaking to somebody? Hindsight tells us that. Foresight tells us that it may happen again at that level, but we also, in our foresight, it reminds us that we are not left alone on this planet to deal with this situation, because the God that I serve does not slumber or sleep. He's watching. If his eye is on the sparrow, then I know he watches me. Huh? God is still in control and is on our side. Insight tells me that I must handle the situation professionally. I don't need to fight with a gun. I don't need to be physically abusive to some other person that used to abuse me, because they say that when once you fight back, you may be a more oppressive oppressor than the ones who oppressed you in the first place, because you're retaliating. But in God's economy, I am taught that the way that we handle situations like this is to allow God to do it for us, not we doing it for ourselves. Jehoshaphat says, the battle is not ours, it's the Lord's. And so in dealing, watch me now, in dealing with our situation today, what we need to do, instead of complaining about the system, complaining about the abuse, we need to get back to studying the Word, reading the Word, connecting with Jesus Christ, and loving each other better every day. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 and onwards to about 12 reminds us, this is interesting, that God told his people to make sure that they tell their children, and their children's children, and generations of children, what God had done for them. He said, remind your children. Somebody say remind. Remind your children that it was I that led you through the Red Sea. Come on, somebody. It was I that took you through great tribulation. Tell them the story of what I have done for you. And then the word of God promises in verse 10 to 12 that I will provide food. When you have a house, I will fill up the house with food. That's what the word of God. You check it. I'll provide for you a house. I'll provide for you, and I'm paraphrasing now, modernizing it. I'll provide for you a car. You want a nice car? I might even give that in. I might even throw that in as one of your wants, not your needs. I may give you a Jaguar, Brother Eric. I know you like nice stuff. I may give you a Tesla. I may even throw in a Bentley, Pastor Gregory. I don't know what Gloria likes, but she likes her. She likes you. I may throw in so many good things, but I need you. This is the key. I need you to tell your children and your generations about what I have done so they will never forget. Black people need to tell their children what they have been through so the children will not forget. They need to remind them that once they were beaten, slavery, They need to tell their children, come on somebody, that they couldn't get into Harvard at some time. So they won't forget. They think it's easy. They need to tell their children that they had redlining in certain communities. They could not get a house. The real estate agent would shift you somewhere else. You wanted to live in the, you know, the upper climes of Westchester. You had no problems paying the taxes. You didn't hear that. You wanted to be comfortable in the upper class area of Westchester and the you know, Saddle River and, you know, and Beverly Hills in Jamaica. Are you with me? You wanted that, but redlining, because you're black, you need to stay back. They would not give you a chance to purchase at home. There was an understanding that if you're not of a certain hue, you can't get it, or you can't get in. The children of Israel were to remind their children, we need to, before I sit down today, we need to understand that we need to read history to our children. Remind our children of where we have come, and that because they're having it a little easier now, they should not sit in the rocking chairs of complacency and say, it's over. The fight is not over. Dr. Martin Luther King's fight is not over. We still have to fight. The White House may be getting whiter again. And I'm not, this is not politics. I'm speaking reality. This is not a makeup. We don't need to be ostriches and put our heads in the sand and our posterior exposed just the same. We need to understand that we need to wake up and keep fighting on. Some of us are not proud to fight. Some of us even think we're Oreo cookies. Black outside and white inside. You know that? A lot of black people are not proud to be black. You cannot change your color. The leopard cannot change his skin, neither can you change your color. Accept who you are and be proud, because you know what? If you get back to history, you will find that many of the greatest inventions, the truth is, if it wasn't for the black man, most things would not have been invented. Stop lights, ironing board, you name it. There's so many things that we made, and we don't even get credit for, because the white man took it and claimed it. Black have been superior in terms of, and I'm not saying better than him, but I'm saying they have been at the top of inventions, in the top of architecture, at the top of everything. They have been there. Go to Egypt and the pyramids. Nobody can understand how they did it without mortar. But the pyramids stand. Black people, black civilization. The history of the blacks is a proud history, except for the fact of when some of our black people sold us to those white people. I have to speak truth. But I want you to know that our responsibility today is not to be bitter, but to be better. The antidote to our situation is to repent of our evil ways and understand that we must not now try to fight back and hurt other people, but we must have the Spirit of God where we forgive the past. I want somebody to shout hallelujah now. We need to forgive the past and understand, come on now, that God will fight the battles for us. We don't have to fight them ourselves. Forgive the past, because there is a better future. Or foresight tells us that. Or insight informs us. And we know that there's coming a better day when all these things will be passed away and all things will become new. Can somebody say amen? So what are my parting words for you today? My parting words for us today is to look at the word of God in 1 Corinthians 13. Love each other. Start loving each other. Not because of how we look, but because we are. Start loving each other because the content of your character is what counts. Start loving each other because every person is your brother or sister. Start loving each other because that's what God has always done. If you are the only one, whether you think you're pretty or not, he would have died for you. So we ought to love each other. Can somebody say amen? In Black History Month, we must take time to work with other from other races. Do you know that during our fight, white people marched with us? Marched with us. Times of Jim Crow, they were there. Rosa Parks, they were there. Am I speaking to you? Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. fought peacefully. It was a peaceful revolution. But he was able to move us a step forward. But we still have unfinished business. I want to close today by telling you a little story of two young men who were walking across a desert. And they were walking across, and it became pretty hot because it was 1 o'clock. It was getting real hot. Thank you. I prefer to mess yours up than mine. Oh, thank you. Okay, appreciate that. Yeah, okay. So they were walking through a desert, and they were getting tired. They were trying to get to a certain spot, but they were getting tired. And while they were walking through the desert, one of them slapped the other one. So let's call the one that slapped, call him Mac. And the one that was slapped, John. So Mac slapped John because they were maybe talking about some politics, and then, you know, politics is not fun. And they were tired at the same time, so things weren't really smooth, and they weren't getting along, as the message suggests. And so he slapped John, and John was angry, but he didn't say anything. He just kneeled down, or he just knelt. It depends on where you come from. Both are right. My English tells me that. So he knelt down and wrote in the sand, "Mac slapped me and I'm mad about it." He wrote it in the sand. So Mac saw what he did, but they kept walking. And as they were walking slowly, dragging a little bit because they were tired now, they saw an oasis. What did they see? When they saw the oasis, they said, "Oh, thank God." They were happy they could get some water. And they could, you know, maybe just get a little shower, a little bath, so to speak. And so they jumped in the water as they got there. They were so excited. And somehow, John, who was in the water, met some quicksand, and he was drowning. And Mac came. See, Mac that slapped him came and rescued him, saved his life. And when he got got out of that, he wrote on a rock. He said, "My friend Mac saved my life." And so Mac said, "I noticed when I slapped you, you wrote in the sand, and now that I saved you, you wrote on a rock." Nobody's listening to you. I hope you got it. You like that one, eh? He said, "Why did you do that?" He said, "I did that because I recognize that when people do bad things or ill to me, I should not put it at a place that I will remember it, because, you know, the meteorological conditions will blow away the sand and destroy the memory, so to speak, or the record. But when you write on the rock," come on, somebody. "When you write upon the rock, it is there forever. It's always there. It's indelibly placed." You know, I like this, the story about the rock. You know, when you build upon the rock, it's solid. "When my soul is overwhelmed, lead me," come on, somebody, to the rock. I'm not talking about a movable rock like Petros. I'm talking about Petra, a solid rock. Can somebody say amen? We have had history that we need to write in the sand. Bad things have happened to us. But God, somebody say God. God is able to keep us from falling. He is planning to take us to a place where changes never come. He's going to take us to a place where there'll be equality. He's going to take us to a place where we'll walk on gold. He's going to take us to a place where we will have joy and happiness, where there'll be no need for veggie meat. No more arthritis. No diabetes. Can somebody say amen? There's going to be a place where changes never come. I'm looking for that city which has foundation, whose builder and maker is God. I'm looking for that day when I'll meet the rock, Jesus Christ. Can somebody say amen? Amen? I'm tired of this place. I've got a mansion that's over the hilltop. I want to go home. What about you? I want to go home. I want to be able to sing, finer, sooner will be doneer with the troubles of this earth. I want to be there when they coronate Jesus Christ. I want to be there when the courts of heaven rings. It says, build me a little cabin in the corner of glory land. Under the mighty what? Tree of life. My soul shall never die. The angels came and they beckoned me and they took me by the hand. So build me a little cabin in the corner of glory land. I want to be there when they crown him king of kings. What about you? I pray today that somebody here will accept Jesus as their personal Savior. Is there somebody here? I've never preached without making an appeal, you know. Is there somebody here? Not a member of this church. But you want to give God a chance in your life. You want him to recalibrate you, to rectify, to reset you, to make you a better person. Just raise your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me today. Is there one, even one person? I see somebody in the back. Praise God for that sister in the back. Is there someone? You can take your hand down, sister. Is there somebody else? Here's a brother in the back. Not yet baptized. Not yet baptized. I'm talking about not yet baptized. A little girl, a little boy who wants to give God a chance in your life. There's a little girl. There's two little girls. Anybody else? Not yet baptized. Can somebody say, man, I want Bible workers are paying attention. Is there somebody else? I want the Bible workers to be fleet of foot at this time. Is there somebody else? Not yet baptized. Not yet baptized. I see a little girl there. Little children should lead them. They're smart. Real smart. They can figure out your phone at 3 years old, 2 years old, and you can't even figure out your own password. They can get it. They can get it. Is there somebody else? Not yet baptized. Is there somebody else? Not yet baptized. But you want special prayer today. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. Let's all stand. We're going to close. Is there somebody else or pastors here who just offer a prayer for those who raise their hand? Is there somebody else? Is there somebody else? Just raise your hand. Is there somebody else? To see if you're willing to open the door. That prayer now. I'm not going to prolong the meeting much longer. Is there one more? Just raise your hand. You take one step toward the Savior, my friend. You'll find his arms. Receive him.
Receive him.
And know that your darkness will end within your heart be light. One more.
To see.
Your spirit has been moved to this place. Your manservant has spoken words from on high. And we come confessing, we come healing our wings to the earth. So you can fill us with your love and equip us for service. We pray for those individuals who have raised their hands, indicating they want to be connected with you, to become your sons, your daughters, your children, to start the journey into the kingdom. We are so happy, O God, in your words you have said that once we come to you, no one can pluck us from your hands. Amen. You'll hold us, you'll mold us, you'll keep us until you come. If only we are willing to let you abide in us. We pray for the church at large. Help us to get along together, O God. To put aside our differences. To put aside that which hurts and anger each one.
Yes.
And to let love prevail.
Amen.
The love of Jesus Christ to bind us together in love. And to keep us in good fellowship. We long for the day when all prejudice will be put aside. When all hatred will be put aside. And only love will abide. Through your Holy Spirit, O God, we can accomplish this. We now surrender our will to your will. That your Holy Spirit will come and abide in us. Be our guide. Be our protector. Be our deliverer. Be our sustainer. Be our Savior. And above all things, O God, be our Lord. So we can indeed be your servant. Accept our prayers now. As we leave this place filled with your power to go and proclaim the loving name of your Son, Jesus Christ, get others to come to know and to love you and to serve you to the end. Lead us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.